Hello, you're listening to the Talk of Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo.
Today's episode is a discussional podcast episode. We talk about the news that seems important to us, dive into our community, answer some great questions from our community members, and then say goodbye. So how was the week, Chris?
Tired.
That was how the week was.
Yes.
It was the week itself was tired, or you were tired?
I don't know. Ask me next week.
Okay. I don't think I will, because we'll have a discussion next week. I played Super Mario 3D World All-Stars something or another thing on the Switch.
Yeah.
That thing's just as addictive as ever for the 64. Anyways, I had slightly dabbled into like a few seconds of the Sunshine. It's like doing all this story stuff. I'm like, okay, I'm getting bored already. And I turned it off and went back to 64. And I can't really push myself to play Galaxy because that reminds us of our late father too much. So it's a little bit difficult playing that one, but I'm pretty sure I'll probably eventually play that because it was a really awesome one. But yeah, Mario 64 is like just as addictive as, I mean, it is old, so the camera irritates the fire out of you, but I mean, it is, I mean, for a game that was like one of the first iterations of 3D platforming, it is incredible how well it actually holds up.
Yeah,
because you'd think it'd be way more terrible than it actually is, but it actually does hold up. Frustrating as hell, but great.
Yeah, I can't wait to start digging into it. I'm just giving you your time with it, because I that was one when they announced that, I was like, I really, really want to play that one. And because I only really dabbled a little bit in 64, I never got the chance to play the other two or three or whatever there was. And that was it, and I hear there's a lot of cool stories up inside of a lot of that, so...
Yeah, and the Sunshine's like the only one that I haven't played. Like of all the 3D Marios, the only one I haven't played. So I do want to eventually do it.
One of my favorite characters, literally, her story is in that. And that's Rosalina. I've never played it. So
that was Galaxy.
Galaxy is Rosalina.
Yeah, I'm talking Sunshine.
Sunshine, right? Sunshine's not one. Is one of them, but Galaxy's not one of the.
No, I'm saying she's from Galaxy, but I don't think she's in Sunshine. I was talking about Sunshine. Right. You said, yeah, Rosalina.
I was just like, talking about so, the whole batch.
I got you. Yeah, her story is depressing. It's all told like in storybooks and stuff. So, yeah, that's been fun. I've been enjoying that. We also watched it's funny because a lot of people are angry because they didn't do it that much with them. And it's like, I don't know that I'd want them to like rebuild the 64 in Mario 64, because it's like once you do that, it would no longer play the same, and it'll probably be just too easy. Like, yeah, if you had like really good camera systems put into Mario 64, it'd probably play more fun, like not fun, but like less frustrating. Mm-hmm. But that's almost its challenge, is that learning how to, you know, work with that.
I don't know. I've always been kind of mixed on it, because I made the argument for revamping the entire Metal Gear series, and mostly because I think that
that's almost a story to do it.
Yeah, it's almost a shame to let a lot of these stories just go to waste because nobody takes the time to go back and add a new fresh paint on a lot of these stories, and it. I know it's not easy to do, but at the same time, it shouldn't be as hard as they make it out to be. I mean, it's just a matter of using the same characters you've already built and just kind of revamping the textures for the newer system. I don't see it as complicated as they make it out to be.
Yeah, like I said, I think something like Metal Gear Solid, it makes sense because it's got story to it, whereas, you know, Mario platforming, it doesn't really have much story. I mean, yeah, like you said, Rosalina, but it's like literally her story's in a picture book on the side. It's not as if you need to play the game fully revamped in order to see her story. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would have liked to have been widescreen with Mario 64, but once you start playing, it doesn't really matter. It just, you get used to it, kind of thing. Just like the camera, even though it still kind of frustrates me every now and then when I'm going across a really narrow path and the camera starts turning itself, and they can't turn it back, and then you walk off the edge, it's like, yee! And of course, it's always instant death, kick out of the painting, and then you have to go back into it. So fresh. I was so mad last night playing. And it was funny because one of the new Hololive English VTubers was playing it, and so I had her on live, and she's getting frustrated because she keeps dying, and I'm getting frustrated because I keep dying. So we're like being frustrated together.
Yeah, they announced some new Hololives.
Yeah, I don't know why that was one of the things that didn't end up on my document, but yeah, I've been watching way too much of the new Hololive English group. So that's been exciting. And that was technically done, I think, about 2 weeks ago. It's just, of course, we had the previews that we were doing, so we didn't technically take the time to sit down and talk about that last week. But yeah, it was kind of an exciting thing that happened a couple weeks ago, was them announcing a Hololive English group, and they have been on the air for now, like I said, about 2 weeks now. What is your thoughts so far?
I haven't watched enough of them. I've clicked on them. Most of them seem pretty decent. I like Gura Gura. She's Gura. The one that I keep Gura's going
great.
Back.
Gura Gura was great.
Yeah, I keep going back to her. I really am interested in the other girls, but not so much probably the Edgelord one. So Andrew gave me war stories of this Edgelord girl.
Because, of course, first impressions, when they each had their, like, debut, I watched Gura and Kiara and Ina. I think I got quite... I caught, like, the later part of Amelia as well. The only one they didn't catch live was Callie, which she's the quote-unquote Edgelord. And so all the impression I got of Callie was I seen a video pop up that literally just said, here's a single from her, and I clicked on it. It's literally like total like angsty teen edgelord cussing for just to sound edgy kind of rap. And I'm like, yeah, I don't like this. This is not my type. And like I said, it's not a problem for anybody that enjoys it, but it's just, I was like, yeah, this just isn't my thing. This is not what I enjoy. So I was like, okay, yeah, sure, cool. And I kind of turned it off. I mean, it was a good beat, but it's just not.
Did you give her a chance when she's not actually doing her song?
And so my second, and like I said, I watched through all the other ones, most of Amelia's, and then my next impression was when they were all on Amelia's stream, and Amelia's, of course, the Watson character, and she's got all the other girls all in like a lineup. And like a police station or whatever, and she's questioning them because they're all based off of like mythological aspects. Like Callie is undead, Kiara is a phoenix, Ina is like an octopus thing, Gura is a shark, and so she's talking to each one of them and trying to question them because they're obviously not human. And so. There, I was perfectly fine with Callie. I had no problem with her. And then I later on watched a couple of her streams, and she's perfectly fine. It's just, and here's where it comes to my taste on this whole ordeal. I think they're all great. I think they did a great little selection of them. Their artwork's fantastic. I think two of them is Huke. He did artwork for like Black Rock Shooter. He did artwork for several of them, including Ina. And so they look great. Their animations are great. They're great people. Really enjoy listening to them. Great voices. And then it kind of comes down to, of course, now I kind of select which ones I watch. I mean, I still watch all of them pretty much. Less of Callie and less of Amelia. More Kiara, Ina, and Gura. And that's mainly because you kind of, after a while, I have to spend my time wisely. I don't want to watch all of them because then I'm spending all my time watching them because they're scheduling themselves like right after each other, like pretty much every day. So if you want to watch all of them, you're pretty much watching their streams all evening. And so I kind of have to, of course, choose to not watch them all. And so I kind of started leaning towards specifically Kiara, Ina, and Gura, mainly because each one of them kind of provides something that I really do like. Kiara, she makes it a point to speak both Japanese and English throughout her entire stream. So she kind of is a great way of getting that mixture of both. I think it's probably a really cool way to kind of learn some basic Japanese as well, if you're looking for that. Ina is probably my favorite. She, a great personality, love her artwork. And she's quite a bit.
She's the Cthulhu one, right?
Yeah, she does.
She's the one that I was most drawn to.
She does quite a bit of Japanese as well. And the really cool thing about Ina is that she does artwork as well. She's been drawing for, I think she said, like 15 years. And she does all the artwork for Hololive English. She's a great artist. I mean, she's just sketching out stuff real quick, which is great because when they did the collab thing, they did like a drawing contest and she's just wiping the floor with them. So I was like, well, of course, she's doing all the artwork for them. But yeah, I love her to death. She's probably one of is easily my favorite. I say that when they're like really close to each other, because like I said, Kiara, I love her personality and I love that she does a lot of Japanese. And Gura is just kind of like, I want to protect this. Gura is the, I want to protect this. And she's just absolutely like the star child character. She's just adorable and you want to protect her. But at the same time, and Gura also is really big on rhythm games. And I watched her play some rhythm games.
Somebody gave her amazing. A voice modulator.
Yeah, she just super chats in that. That was great, though, because they finally unlocked their super chats with their recent streams, and that crap was flooding like crazy. I mean, I was telling Chris, the super chats are scrolling faster than the actual just regular chats. That's how much people are just pouring money into these girls. So great job for them. It's fantastic they're successful like that. But yeah, I love Gura's streams. She's a little bit more quiet than the rest of them, which that's kind of the negative, but I want to see her do more rhythm games because I think that's fantastic. But yeah, Ina is probably easily my favorite of all of them.
Yeah, it's funny because that it's something that I would love to. They end up popping up on my list mostly because I've clicked on them a few times, but usually it's more the clips. So if Pecora does something crazy, it ends up popping up.
Kiara loves Pecora, and every now and then Pecco pops up on Kiara's stream, and then Kiara just breaks.
But yeah, I end up usually just catching kind of the highlights of whatever they've done for the day or something like that. So yeah, I've got other things that I'm interested in, and I tend to click on those more. But yeah, I end up catching highlights of a lot of them.
Yeah, and I feel bad because like I said, with the kind of choosing which ones I actually want to focus on, it sucks because I have this kind of this predisposition that I want to focus on something that's more Japanese. And technically, with like Amelia doesn't really know much Japanese. She's like literally learning the basics on stream, which is great because that helps people that if they want to learn Japanese, they can probably learn it on Amelia's stream as she's learning it. But I think she's like the only one that I wonder if she's actually in America because she's talked about how people have asked her like great places to go in Japan or food to eat, and she doesn't really know. So I'm like, I don't know if is because several of them talk as if they're, you know, they say good morning when it's actually nighttime here. So it's obviously probably in that time zone. So it's like it begs that question of like, are these girls in Japan or are they in America and hired by Hololive to stream out of America? Because there seems to be, but like I said, with Kiara, she's like, I think she sounds, several of them, Kiara, Ina, and Gura especially, often in a lot of cases, they'll catch themselves because they don't know the right word in English to say something. And they're like, well, how do I say that in English or whatever? So I don't know. It does beg the question. It's the weeb side of me, obviously. I mean, weeb in a sense of like, I really like something that is this culture. And so I obviously don't go after many of the English VTubers that are out there right now that are trying to bank on that because I don't, that's not what I'm looking for. It's just like why I don't watch American televisions because I'm looking for specifically Japanese related stuff. And so it does feel like that question of like, am I being deceived here? Is it a really good job of deceiving me here?
I don't know. They actually are. Their English is very solid. So I assume they're natural born, and they've moved to Japan, they've picked it up along the way, but they definitely have solid English.
There's a conspiracy that Amelia is actually probably just like this. you know, fully English person that is kind of the, you know, that...
She's the mole.
That niece of somebody that works at Hololive that is getting the pass. You don't have to be Japanese. Don't worry about it. We're going to bring you in. But I know I love Amelia's personality anyways. So it's like, even if she doesn't speak Japanese, she has a great personality and she does a really good job of her stream. So it's not that I know there's probably people out there right now that are already super fans that will hate anybody that, you know, disses on Callie or Amelia or something. And I'm going to get a lot of hate for it. But, yeah, I think most every single person, I mean, it's great because when they did their debut, they were kind of going through each one of them and they were all pre-assigning like hashtags for artwork, hashtags for like what they name their fans. Like, it was funny because when Guda was doing hers, everybody started yelling chum. And she's like, what is chum? She's like, well, chum buddies, that sounds fun. And I was like, I wonder if she had to look it up later to find out what chum was. I'm like, this is perfect. It's great. But yeah, they each had like their own little kind of groupie name. And but I think most people that are watching these girls are probably just jumping from one stream to the other, which is nice that they don't overlap them. But it's good to see that kind of coverage throughout multiple girls, that all these people kind of supporting each one of them. Because like I said, I definitely with each one of them, when they were getting super chats coming in, they were just flooding like crazy, which was really great. Which is also heartbreaking at the same time, because once the super chat stuff kind of came up, Ina got on there and she's talking about how she's, you know, really happy to see how much everybody's supporting all these girls. And she started, of course, getting all choked up and she's talking about ninjas cutting onions and she just beside herself with emotion. And she started talking about how everybody's kind of getting inspired to start drawing. Just personally, me as well, getting inspired to start drawing again and how much that meant to her. And it's like, that's really fantastic to kind of have that support going with them. Kiara, I listened to her stream and she was choking up too about it. So it's really cool. It seems like it's a huge success already. So kind of just shows what people were kind of looking for and that it was a cool decision of them to support that. Like, this is something people are constantly, you know, clamoring for, which is these Hololive characters having translations. And now you have an actual English group that's, you know, supporting that side. But like I said, I do kind of like that aspect of, again, it might sound weebish, but I think it is good to kind of, what is that one thing you're going to do that's unique to your group that is going to fill that gap? And as I think that is that aspect that even though people really do love these VTubers in Japan, they also kind of draw themselves to that because of that culture difference. Otherwise, they would be watching, you know, the flood amount of VTubers that are in English right now that everybody's trying to bank on. That I kind of wonder if how pissed off those groups are. Like, I every now and then I kind of see the thumbnails pop up with English groups, and I don't ever watch them because I'm not really interested in it. But I seen one that had several of the big ones all in the same like video talking about the English VTuber. Like, I was almost tempted to click on it just to see if they're like, yeah, stepping into our territory thing. How dare them? I advise against that. That is not a battle you want to start. Cause I mean, each one of these girls are shooting, I mean, tens of thousands of viewers every stream. And like I said, the amount of super chats that are flooding in there is people putting money where their mouth is and supporting these girls. And they literally all within 2 days had over 200,000 subs with each one of them. So it's not a battle you want to start, like I said. At the same time, they had I ran into one girl. Oh, I already forgot what her name was. Was it Tia? Aki. I ran into a video of Aki where somebody was trying to support her because she recently talked about her insecurities about the fact that she was like the lowest sub-numbered Hololive character that was like in the first gen, and talked about all the struggles that she went through, and they had like this huge campaign to support her and bring her subs up over 200,000. I think she's probably more than that now. And so, yeah, I discovered Aki and her ASMR videos, mm-hmm. which is great. And I watched her video where she kind of responded to the outpour of support to bring her subs up, and that was really fantastic because I never heard of her before, which is like, I guess, kind of attributes to that aspect that she was such a low sub VTuber. But yeah, she was adorable. So yeah, VTubers, that's fun. Yeah, like I said, I but the other cool thing was that several of the Hololive English VTubers, I think it was Ina, and I think Kiara. I'm not sure about Gouda. So two, maybe three of the Hololive English VTubers all play Final Fantasy 14. And I was like, ooh, that's awesome. I hope they stream it. And then I'm like, I think Ina even said that she was thinking about starting a new character and starting over so that she can, you know, stream it from the beginning for everybody. And so, like, one side of me immediately pops up like, oh, that would be amazing. I would love to jump on the server that she's on and play alongside her or whatever. And then I'm thinking, and I'm probably one of 40,000+ people that just thought that same thought. That's a bad idea, Ina. Don't do it. It's like, it's that blessing and curse of something like that that is like, oh, that would be great. And then we could all play the... No, that's going to be a really bad idea. Because all I can think of is like, you know, like big streamers like, you know, Asmongold or somebody who logs on to World of Warcraft or something. And there's just like 50 people just swarming around their character and saying inappropriate things or dancing naked around them. And it's like, no, please don't. No, you'll be looted. Don't do that. Oh, but it would be cool. It would be cool, but I don't think it would work out very well. It's you along with many people that are like the stands of the fans out in the crowd that are going, don't get near her. That's only probably, I can.
That's probably why they have a personal Minecraft server too, isn't it?
Yeah, I think they've had cases where they accidentally opened up or went to an open server and it didn't work out very well. So. Like I said, that's kind of an expected thing when you have that many people watching you, that they're all going to have the same mindset as you. They're all going to want to do that as well. So I don't know how she would get around that. That's the crappy thing. It's like, I understand that. So if she were to say on stream, look, I'm going to start playing this. Please don't, you know, come in here and rush me, because then if everybody does that, it's going to ruin the experience. I would be like, yeah, sure, I won't do that because I want to watch her play the game. But I know... the other, you know, thousands of people are not going to do that. They're going to jump in there and they're going to ruin the experience. But I want to watch her play it. And it's like, yeah, she technically could hide what service she's logging into, but eventually somebody's going to run past her and go, there, I logged into every server until I finally found her in that zone. She's on this server, and then everybody's going to flood it. And it's like, it sucks because I want to see... That would be great to have a VTuber that plays Final Fantasy. So, bummer.
Yeah. No, they'll see one person run by, and then they'll type it.
Search the name. Yeah, search the name or see the party name and search it. Yeah, they can easily search it in the database to find out what server they're on. That's true. But yeah, at least you'd be able to enjoy playing like dungeons. Always stay in the dungeons. That's the only way you can get around, is always stay in dungeons. That would suck. But yeah, that's
Even then, you would at least get the, not the actual shard, you could get the server group that way, because those are cross servers.
The shard or the
shark?
Shock.
Shock.
Gouda had like the greatest intro too, because she's like, it took forever to her to be on. I think it was like 12 minutes before she actually started the stream, because she was having some difficulties. The entire time in the chat, Amelia's talking about how the tie has not come up or something like that, or we're trying to find her right now. And then finally when she comes on, it goes to the loading screen. The loading screen goes away, and she's standing there, and she just says, and then turns back on the loading screen. I'm like, she's such a troll. Because that was like the thing when they were first announcing them, all the girls were on Twitter first, and so they would throw an announcement. And all Gouda did was just put an A and then sent the tweet. So everybody started getting on this thing. So that kind of became her thing. And yeah, she did the voice changer ah. Or auto-tuning ah. Great stuff.
Yeah, each one of them seemed like they had that initial, I mean, we even had it the first time we did a podcast. We had that initial real nervous, not sure how to deal with it.
And we were live.
They were. Yeah.
Going live is completely different. So, mm-hmm. But and I think that's the other kind of difficult thing that I have with several of them, is, and I think that's kind of the part of the problem that I have so much with quote unquote Edgelord is that she's way too much her character. And we were kind of talking about it at some point where it's kind of like, you almost want them to kind of establish that character over time. Whereas I think several of them kind of got too wrapped up in that personality right at the very beginning and almost wanted to be their character, which I think is fine. Especially when you have issues with like people asking them questions like, you know, what do you do? What'd you do before this or whatever? You don't really want to get personal with people, being a YouTuber in that sense, because they're technically quote unquote idols. And that's what they're establishing. They're establishing idol status right off the bat. They're coming out with a brand name on them, and they're able to establish such a huge audience right off the bat because they're Hololive. And I think that initial boom of enthusiasm to them, they can't just come out and be very kind of personal and talk about their personal life and stuff. And so having that character that they do is kind of a benefit, because then they can just role play off the answers rather than actually answer them.
Right.
But at the same time, you get too into that kind of stuff, it starts getting into, you're trying too hard, just relax, girl, have fun with this kind of thing. So, which is fine. It's good stuff. Definitely check them all out and support them. It's been a lot of fun so far. So, got them all subbed on YouTube and enjoying their shenanigans. It's been fun. Yeah, that was like literally 30 minutes of our podcast already is talking about Hololive English. So we should probably get into the news that seems important to us. That should be important to you because it's important to us, even though that technically was a news that should be important to you because it's important to us that it's important to you.
Yeah? If you say so.
First one's a doozy. The final episode of the Alicization War of the Underworld Sword Art Online series, which just finally concluded, which is, quote-unquote, the final season of Sword Art Online, that we technically know is not true. They announced the anime adaptation of Sword Art Online Progressive Light Novel Series. So they wanted you to know that, yes, we're going to continue to adapt anything and everything that is sneezed out of the nose of the creator of Sword Art Online. So keep that in mind. This, of course, is a retelling of the Ankrad arc, which is... It supposedly kind of kicks off about the same time as the original first season does, but it's supposed to be a little bit more detailed about their progression up the levels. Whereas I think with the original adaptation, as you know, they kind of jumped around quite a bit. I think at some point they just shot right up to like 70 or something like that, and it's like, well, okay, we're up here. So this one's going to be a little more detailed. I think somebody said it was going to actually go into like their... And I don't know how true this is, because it was only like one comment that I found specifically about it was that each volume went through like a level. So that kind of gives you an idea of how, I guess, slow it moves. Mm-hmm. but yeah, hopefully if anybody has actually been reading through that, they can correct us and let us know. I think I've heard a lot of positive things about this, so I'm kind of excited. I don't know if it's going to be more indulging the harem aspects, or if it's going to be more serious and focusing on strictly the progress of the actual ascending of the tower. But it's cool to hear. I'm excited to see that there's more legs to come, I guess. Now the bummer thing, I guess, is that they have not said any dates, so I'm certain this will probably be maybe a 2022 thing, I think.
Didn't it say 20? I thought something, somewhere in there I read summer.
You read summer somewhere?
Summer, somewhere. It might have been one of the other things that I looked at, so
please don't quote me on it. Somewhere? I don't know. I don't think I've seen anything on the video itself.
I know it wasn't that.
Yeah, that's 2022. I think that's the show itself, or the story, world. Yeah. Yeah, the story. Yeah, there it would lead into my thoughts of 2022. Mm-hmm. But no, it's a very specific date in 2022, so I doubt that is the case. They're like, yeah, we already know it's going to be January this of 2022. But yeah, cool stuff, though. I'm excited to see more. We're huge fans, so. We still got to watch that last episode, though. So, thankfully, there was no spoilers in the news for that. We're certain that everybody will be happy in the end. Now, it's kind of, and they might actually already have it already, but I was talking about how, like, there's something that happens in, like, the one to last episode of Alicization, which it kind of insinuates a time gap. And I'm like, wow, that's totally, like, leaving itself open to that. You know he's going to essentially write that story. We jumped ahead, but I know they're going to write that story. That time gap is going to be a novel at some point, which would be cool because it's kind of in that area of a storytelling that would be kind of interesting. So, yep. Be excited if you were a fan of Sword Online. It's going to keep coming. It's not a surprise. It'll keep coming. I mean, even if they didn't do progressive, I can totally see them going back and doing more of the alternative Gun Gale Online, because I'm sure there's plenty more of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that was a complete adaptation or not. Yeah. See here. Deadline Entertainment News website has reported that Lee Isaac Chung will be directing the live action of Makoto Shinkai's Your Name. So I have no clue who he is, and I don't recognize anything he's worked on, but just a friendly reminder that they're still doing that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever heard of Lee Isaac Chung, but
you might maybe by what he's done, but I doubt
Minari
it.
And Munyu Rangabo.
Nah.
Munyu Rangabo. I don't know, but yeah, it's in good hands. That's all you got to know, I guess. No clue what he's done, but he's done stuff. So there you go. Script by award-winning nomination screenwriter Eric Hesserer that did Bird Box. There you go. That's something I've actually watched.
Have you?
Think I watched Arrival?
No, I
you didn't watch Bird Box?
If you've watched...
Is that Bird... Am I thinking right? Is that...
If you've watched Arrival, I hate you, because I want to watch that movie.
Yeah, you didn't watch Bird Box? Everybody watched Bird Box.
No, I don't know what Bird Box is.
You mean you didn't see the Bird Box challenge everybody was doing, trying to drive to work with the blindfolds on?
No, I know what you're talking about. There's a movie where you couldn't see something,
so they had to wear blindfolds all the time.
That's, what's her face? Yeah,
Sandra Bullock in it.
Sandra Bullock.
It was all right. I had somebody at work that despised it. I'm like, it wasn't that bad. It's okay movie. I don't know. I think I watched Arrival.
If you watched it, I hate you because you watched it.
No, I don't want to look up. Stop. Search and Google this button. That's the button. No, I wanted to.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one that I wanted to watch. Never did get around to it. Never got that round to it. Short commodity anymore. Those round to it's short supply. So yeah. That's still happening.
That's why I'm actually kind of surprised you watched even Bird Box. Bird Box, shoot.
Yeah, there was a bit of a craze around it for a week.
Yeah, so there was a craze around it.
I guess I should watch it. They still describe it as two teenagers discover that they are magically and intermittently swapping bodies. When a disaster threatens to upend their lives, they must journey to meet and save their worlds. They must be changing the story completely then. Okay. Apparently they're going to have like some doomsday thing that they all have to stop together. That's totally Hollywooding it. They're going to Hollywood it, aren't they? They're totally going to Hollywood it. That's all right. Just like I said before, with several times before, I am more of the mindset that I believe that these people that are bringing these stories that are, you know, wrote and created by, you know, very Japanese origins, it's better that they take those and completely rewrite them for a Western audience rather than trying to adapt it one for one, because that's when you get the quote unquote cringe factor. That's when you have the stuff that just doesn't translate properly. Just do your own thing. Let it be. We still have the old thing to enjoy. Just don't.
Yeah. I'll give it a chance, but I'm almost to the point where I don't even care anymore. I don't want them to touch anything and
I have
anymore.
Perfectly fine version of it. I don't need another version of it. Yeah. Discotech. They have licensed the following: Lupin the Third, Twilight Gemini, Big Order. We have Ribbon Pregnancy. And Hanasakeru Seishonen. So, they're going to release those on Blu-ray on November 24th. So, cool stuff. Definitely check out Big Order for that Ribbon Pregnancy. That's about it, though. That's about all you got it from it. It's a really funny joke. It's about all we got from it was a funny joke. Some sad news for Amanchu fans. The creator, Kazue Amano, has posted on Twitter that they are entering the final arc of the series with the 98th chapter. So, if you are a fan of Amanchu, I guess expecting it's kind of start coming into its kind of conclusion story. Which, I mean,
they can't
be saying much, because the final arc could be really long. So.
They can't be in high school forever. It's kind of obvious.
What's to say that they're still in high school? Did she hurt herself? She's got crutches. Uh-oh, spoiler.
Spoilers.
Something happened. I know, she's so ganky, she probably tripped and fell.
No, she probably got a stab from a stingray or something.
Oh, a shark bite.
Shark bite, yeah.
Guda Garu got her. Shock! That'd be cool. Maybe wouldn't be doing crazy drug tripping stuff happening in that show. Maybe that's in her head. We don't know. We'll see.
This is possible, too. I mean, we had an entire arc based on it.
Seven Seas has licensed A Tale of the Secret Saint light novel and manga. This one is described as Fia, always dreaming of becoming a knight, born into a family of knights. She's the least talented amongst them, but she still clutches to her hope and trains with everything she has. When the day comes for her to slay a small demon and prove her worth, she ends up face to face with a dragon instead. A deadly injury makes her life flash before her eyes, and she suddenly remembers her former life, when she was a powerful saint in a bygone era who defeated the Demon King. That life ended in pain because of who she was, making her fear even becoming a saint again. Now that the magic of her previous life is rekindled, she may become a more powerful knight than she ever dreamed, if only she could survive long enough. I thought it was going to end that she decides to, even though she's super powerful, that she just wants to be a cook or something instead. But apparently she's still going to be fighting. So, okay. Sure. Cool stuff. Check that out. Seven Seas. Let's see here. Suyun Bones and Hiroko Itsumi are in the works of a new original TV anime project. Of course, Hiroko Itsumi was the one that directed Banana Fish and Free. And, of course, Bones is known for such titles as Hero Academia, Fullmetal Alchemist, and Mob Psycho 100. So, cool stuff. I'm excited to see what they come up with. They're actually planning to reveal more details literally today of recording this in Japan. So, hopefully by sometime tomorrow we will know what they plan to do, or if we have any more additional information on that one. But I'm always excited for original titles, and that's definitely a great studio to work with. And the director has done some, prolific things. Even though I wasn't a huge fan of how Banana Fish turns out, I think that was more the writing than the director himself. I think he did a fantastic job of actually directing it. So, and Free has always been really well done. So I'm certain that that'll be a good collaboration between the two of them. Cool?
Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on, some Akira news, or Kira news as some people call it. The 4K remaster IMAX has announced that they'll be doing screenings in the U.S. That will begin on September 24th. They're going to be doing both screenings of Japanese with English subtitles. And I don't think English. I didn't see English dub. So I guess they're just doing subtitle versions of it. So
I wonder how they would do the IMAX version of sub.
Really big orange letters.
I mean, the whole idea behind the IMAX is that it's too big for your eyes to take it all in. That's the whole point. And so you obviously can't put the subtitles across the entire bottom because you wouldn't be able to read it. So would you shrink it down? I mean, if you shrank it down, then it'd be a little bit harder to read. So it'd be a weird, weird situation all around.
I think it would fine just be out of the middle. I don't think you really do want to look around everywhere, but you probably would kind of wander your eyes around. But I think most people that are going to watch that probably know the story already, so they probably don't care about the subtitles. But yeah, it's really cool stuff. Now, less cool stuff is the second bit of news. Yeah, about that Blu-ray release that Andrew's been waiting for. Apparently Funimation's doing it. So yeah, Funimation will be doing the release of the 4K Blu-ray set. Releasing it on December 22nd. Which basically means that Andrew will be probably just going back and seeing if he can find the import. Mm-hmm. We'll not be waiting for the English release of it anymore. But yeah, that's... there you go. They got a limited edition that's going to include a box featuring the art from the film and a 40-page booklet. So if you are not as picky about Funimation releases as I am, you can definitely go check this out and get the 4K Blu-ray of it from Funimation. So
just in case anybody wondered, that was a sarcastic clap.
And, of course, we already knew about this before, but they also kind of iterate on the fact they will be doing a Blu-ray release of Paranoia Agent. And they set a date for December 15th for that. So, I don't know. There's no Japanese release with English that I know of, so I guess I'll have to be picking up that one. But I do really want a Paranoia Agent release of it, so I will definitely be picking that one up as well. So, either way, I guess that's technically good news for Akira. More attention on that that movie is great. So
who knows, more it'll sad probably news. Be the greatest release of it ever done, so
who knows,
but we'll have to find out secondhand because we're not getting it originally. We don't trust him anymore.
To piggyback off that one, Funimation announced that they are also going to be doing a Blu-ray release of Violet Evergarden TV series. So
darn it, Funimation,
that's where that went. It's like one of those things where you got what you wished for, but here's the... It is the, what, the monkey paw thing? Where you wish for something so much and you end up getting like a negative result, mm-hmm. even though it's technically what you asked for. Yeah. I'm going to get it. And it better be perfect. That's all I'm going to say, because I really want this series so bad on Blu-ray. It better be the highest quality Funimation. I am telling you, it better be perfect. Don't screw up this. Don't say we got weird masters. You get the masters and you use them, you know, 1-for-1 ratio. They have 50 discs. You better put 50 freaking discs in there. I don't want all the damn series on one disc or something and you screw up the quality. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Don't screw it up, please.
You got a lot more trust in him than I do.
I have zero trust in him. I'm just saying, for some reason, thinking it's going to fix something if I say it. But yeah, they're doing the release on anime.
Obviously, Roberts hasn't listened to us for whatever reason.
Yeah, the app still makes me want... Yeah. I don't know why every time I go into a show, it pushes me to un-cue things when I'm trying to press the play button. I don't know what it is. But yeah, they're going to be doing a standard and limited release, or limited edition release. It's going to be in 2020, because they said it's going to release this year, so here soon, I'm guessing. The limited edition will include a slipcover, 4 cover art cards, a 200-page art book, and a sticker sheet to have all of your stickers. It's 4 discs. That's a good sign. It's not 2, which it could have been easily been forced into 2 discs, so that at least tells me there are at least 3 episodes each, right?
It says art, not final. That probably means that nothing is final in that script, that picture.
If you see 4 discs here, this isn't final. This could be only 2. Or no, that's no, never mind. That's 2 discs that are Blu-ray and that's 2 discs that are DVD. Yeah, unless the limited edition is not DVD, which I doubt it. I bet that they put DVDs in there as well. I think that's the DVD logo right there.
Well, it says up there at the top, Blu-ray disc DVD combo pack.
In both standard and limited edition, so I didn't really specifically say that, but yeah, that means that it's going to be 7 episodes on 1 disc. Yep, that's going to be screwed up. I'll get a standard edition. Throw it in the trash. Why do they have to put 13 episodes on 2 discs? I mean, at least somebody at Funimation, you're literally in the same company as Aniplex. Somebody at Aniplex, talk to them and tell them there's a reason why you guys put 2 discs in a release of Bakemonogatari Monatari that's only 4 episodes. There's a reason. It's not that they're trying to skip out on doing 2 discs. It's because there's a reason. They're with the highest damn quality, and they don't put dubs on them. Those are not dubbed, and they're still like 2 episodes of discs. It's like the best quality possible on those things. Or they're just trying to add value to paying $80 to something. I do see the other sides of it. I'm not completely ignorant. Anyways, I'm moving forward, getting out of here, moving on. It better be good. That's all I'm saying. It better be really freaking good. It's not going to be, but it better be. The official website has been opened for Natsumi's Book of Friends for a new film. This is apparently going to be opening in Japan early spring of 2021. The title is Natsumi Yujinsho Ishi Okoshi to Ayashiki Rai Hosha, or Natsumi's Book of Friends, The Waking Rock and the Strange Visitor.
And I really got to get back to that show.
Super excited. The film will be made up of 2 stories, Ishi Okoshi and Ayashiki Rai Hosha. In Ishi Okoshi, Natsumi meets a small yokai named Mitsumi in a forest. Mitsumi is entrusted to wake up the divine yokai Iwatetsu from its deep slumber. Mitsumi weighs on Natsumi's mind, so he sets out to help Mitsumi with his task. In Ayashiki Rai Hosha, a mysterious visitor appears in front of Tanuma. Nearly every day, the visitor visits Tanuma, talks to him a little, and then leaves. Natsumi, who knows the visitor is a yokai, worries of Tanuma, but Tanuma enjoys these exchanges with the yokai. The yokai means no harm, but Tanuma's health slowly starts to deteriorate.
Just a little sip.
Yep, pretty much. Really excited. And kind of, and sadly, it's one of those ones where it's like, it's been so long. It's like, I started forgetting about Natsumi's Book of Friend, how amazing it is. So it's good to see more come back. I know that there's plenty of stuff for them to adapt. So I'm always waiting for more of it. And like I said before, it's one of those series that just never gets old. Like every time I watch it, it's like, yeah, it's technically getting into the, you know, what was it? 6 years plus episodes, and it's like it's still good. Like every episode's so good. So yeah, fantastic series, definitely looking forward to it. Alright, let's see. Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba manga has hit 100 million copies in circulation. That is insane. One of these days I'm gonna need to start picking up the manga. But yeah, it's been doing extremely well in Japan, and
it's on our Viz app.
Yeah. Is it caught up to the show? Or at least the movie?
I'm pretty sure it's way past the show.
Well, how many volumes?
It's the manga.
Right, but how many volumes are on the app?
Probably tons. Grab your...
I mean, you're going to have to be over 24 volumes in there before it's going to start catching up with the show. So usually it's about a volume per episode.
Wasn't the show based on the manga?
Yeah.
So the manga should be way out ahead of the show.
Yeah, the Japanese one, of course, but I'm talking about the English one.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be way out there. They ship them out on the same day as the manga.
Oh, that's right. You're right. But yeah, good stuff there. That's I'm happy that it's been as successful as it's been for them. Hopefully that means that we get more adaptations coming in rather than just the movie. Moving on. National Printing Bureau's Kanpo reported that that Kyoto Animation has absorbed Animation Do, I'm guessing Animation Do. I think we said Do before. I don't know. I don't think I've actually phonetically heard them say it.
I think it's Do.
Probably Do. Of course, this has been originally when Animation Do was established, they were called Kyoto Animation Osaka Studio. Then became its own corporation called Animation Do in December of 2010. But yeah, they've been pretty much doing co-production for a lot of stuff that Kyoto Animation has been doing, and apparently just wanted to absorb them back into the company completely here.
It probably was because of the fire.
Could be.
They needed a new base, obviously, and they kind of just already had that, so they just... work together.
Could be. I don't know if we'll ever actually know.
Probably
they don't
not.
Talk much about this stuff.
No, they don't.
Let's see. I kind of mentioned this in our preview of the fall 2020 season, but yes, To Your Eternity has been delayed due to COVID. They pushed it back to April of 2021, so that will not be releasing in fall, like we had previously reported on our discussional. So unfortunate, but as we always say, we'd rather them be safe. If their area is not safe to be doing this stuff, do it remotely or don't do it at all. See here, Funimation has added new titles to their streaming platform, including Heaven's Lost Property, Final, the movie Eternally My Master, Saikano, How to Raise a Boring Girlfriend, Asterisk War, Mikaku City Actors, Plastic Memories, Vivid Red Operation, Terraformers and Terraformers Revenge, Capellion, Megalobox, and Gargantia. So, check those out on Funimation now if you have been wondering where they went, because I think some of those actually dropped off Crunchyroll already, so. Yeah. They're mostly, like, Aniplex titles, so. And on the Crunchyroll side, they have added Case Closed, the first season, to their catalog. So I think it's like 49 episodes or something like that. It's a huge chunk of episodes. And the last bit is we had two big announcements from Xbox and PlayStation. So I thought we'd kind of mention that here since we do talk a little bit about gaming here and there. It's kind of important to, I guess, give our two cents on some of it. It was funny because when they first had the announcement from Xbox, a lot of people got really crazy about the fact they came out with their digital only version that was like $299, and everybody was going crazy thinking, man, they just put the killing blow to Sony with it for the next gen. And I'm going, there's no way this $299 box is going to be the same as their $499 box. And sure enough, I got into looking at it, and I'm like, yeah, this thing's got like a third of the power in its GPU. It's got a 500 gigabyte hard drive, no disk slot. So that means that you have only 500 gigabytes to work with on all of your games, which then would require their proprietary hard drive that's going to cost a lot of money for those things. But then I'm thinking to myself, but at the same time, this is genius because everybody's literally expecting that Sony has to beat this price now. Like, even though they don't recognize this thing is, like, really underpowered. I mean, it's literally... I think a lot of people have speculated it's going to be less powerful than the latest generation of the Xbox One. Like, Sony's Xbox One that is, like, the 4K super box. I forget. It's Xbox One...
S.
Or is it S?
Mm-hmm.
this is less powerful than that. And it's like, that doesn't make any sense to me why this would be, but it's an entryway. And they've already said that all their stuff is going to be compatible with the new Xbox and the Xbox One. So it guess technically it doesn't make any sense to really, I guess this is literally their entryway going forward. So it's smart in that regard, but at the same time, it like created this really, confusion to people. They don't understand that this thing is technically not next gen. This is old gen that they're reboxing to sell to people, technically. So, it's very genius also, because then, like I said, everybody's expecting that, well, PlayStation's never going to beat that price. They got them beat. And I'm thinking they don't have to, because it's literally old gen. But things really changed when the PlayStation announcement came out. Probably one of the best conferences I've seen in a long time.
I wonder if it's going to be a Trojan of some sort, just to get it in there on your TV, just to get whatever it is that they're trying to
put into that system
in there.
And I think when Christmas comes around, this is a sucky thing, because this is like my younger self just cringes at this thought. What's going to happen is Christmas is going to roll around.
Well, I was going,
and the only thing that's going to be on the shelf is this. You know, they might have restock of PlayStation 5. I don't know how they're doing with actual production on this. But they're going to have all these consoles sitting there, and there's going to be this one box on the side that says $299. And what is grandma? What is mom? What is dad? What are they going to buy their kid? What they know they're into gaming. When they go, well, where's the next gen consoles? And the guy goes over and says, well, these one's right here. And, well, this one's a $291. Grab that one. They're going to ship so many of those for Christmas. Even though, like I said, the kid at home is going to be going, oh, I hope I get an Xbox. I hope I get the new Xbox. And then they open that box and it's literally the cheapo. That's literally old gen. It's like, mom, dad, you bought me the same thing I already had, basically.
Well, I was going in the direction of they're probably holding back on an announcement that these things are going to be able to do that will entice people to want to get the old one or the lower quality one in to get whatever it is that they're going for. They're probably making a gamble that that's what it is.
What do you mean?
So, like the TV thing, okay? They banked on the TV thing. They lost on that bet, but they're basically they're saying we're banking that whatever this technology is that we have not announced, we'll announce it just before Christmas, and people will want that technology, whatever it is, so badly that they're willing to eat. If they can't buy the super expensive one, they'll be willing to buy this version. Or maybe it's a game. Basically, they're hedging a bet. Are they going to succeed on that bet? I don't know. They failed before on their bets. So
the unfortunate thing, and it sounds really negative to Microsoft, I don't really care which one wins in the end. It's all about the games in the end. But I honestly think it's a deceptive selling. It is the everybody is scrapped on money, and here's a really cheap model that nobody's going to really look into. I mean, I don't even think it's really clearly stated on their website. This thing is a third of the power as this other one. Their website's going to say it's digital only. It's got this hard drive, and it still plays your games. I know it does technically mention the aspect of like, this thing's going to run these things at this quality. And I think that's really where it's kind of going to be pointing at, is going to be they do technically come out and say this thing's not going to be running 4K stuff like the other one will. I think a lot of their statements on there say 1440. So it does hint at, the resolution being different, but it doesn't come out and say this thing is a quarter of the power of, or a third of the power of what the other one is. And I think that's that deceptive selling practice is like, this thing's really cheap, come get it. And it's like, again, not mentioning the fact that this thing is technically way less powerful, which I think is, like I said, a little bit deceptive in the end.
Whereas,
with Sony, it's like, this thing has a disc, this one doesn't. This one has a disk drive. This one doesn't. Now, we can come out later and find out that the diskless one is, you know, half the power. But as it stands now, we don't really know.
I don't know that I would necessarily put that on Microsoft. I've never known them to be necessarily deceptive per se. Yeah, they tend to hide stuff a lot. I've never understood the whole professional versus home. That's always irritated the crap out of me.
Well, let me correct, because they technically, we do know that. We do know the teraflops of what this smaller one will be. It's just I didn't see that on advertisements. I seen that on reportings from other companies that got the more technical aspects reported to them. It should be up in front on the advertisements, and that's what I'm saying. It doesn't see it there, or I don't see that there. Again, though, that's not really something you put in an advertisement, is this one has this many teraflops, and this one has this, because nobody's going to know what the hell that means. We do, but I guess technically the people watching the commercials aren't going to know that.
Yeah, that's where I guess we're going to differ on the opinion on that. I really do think that it's just they're banking on something that they're going to probably announce later. I really do. Because otherwise it doesn't make any sense why they would have a system that is effectively, like you're saying, lower than the last generation. That doesn't make any sense to me.
It makes sense to me. Essentially, they are still making games for the old Xbox, Xbox One. And so in order to... Okay, so you have a company, you have a pre-established console here, which is the Xbox One, and now you're going to bring in this new Xbox series. Well, you've already established that you're going to keep your people happy that are still using the old Xbox One. So you told everybody, hey, we got this new console coming, but don't worry, because we're still going to make our games to work for both. Your company is still manufacturing stuff. At some point, as your company is manufacturing the new one, but still doing software for the old one, at some point you're going to stop making that old one. But you want to make a option to people to buy cheap. So you make a weaker version of this, the new one, that is in the same spec as the old one, so that now you have two SKUs to sell to people, one that's expensive and one that's cheap, because you're still making games to do that power. It makes perfect sense to me from a technical standpoint.
No, that makes even less sense, because now you're shifting the problem over to the customer, and that doesn't make any sense. That makes even less sense.
What are you putting on the customer?
Because you're telling the customer to downgrade their system to get to the next generation. That doesn't make any sense.
Where did I say that you were downgrading your system?
You said that the lower tier one was less powerful than the current generation.
Pretty much the same power, because it's technically got SSD in there.
Either way,
it's running the same stuff at the same specs, probably.
All right, but it's still you're not getting an upgrade. Why would you ever move to the next one if the old
because
system
it's cheaper? You have an audience of people that are like, I want the new stuff with the new user interface that has. Probably will have what? Newer stuff, as in like suspending and resuming stuff, but it has a price tag that's not, you know, an environment where people don't have jobs.
Outside
it's a cheap console.
Outside of my current generation breaking, what is the benefit to me moving to the next generation?
It would probably be UI, SSD, faster loading.
That's what I'm like saying. That. Some new technology in the new one that has not been announced yet.
SSD.
That SSD is not enough to move to the next generation for people.
Their UI is based off of that. You can suspend and resume games an instant. You know your Switch? When you turn it on, you immediately start playing your game again. You can suspend one game that way, open another game, play that game, come back, and instantly jump back into where you were at with your other one. That is cool technology.
It's not cool technology. I'm saying that it's not enough to move to the next generation.
None of these things have anything that's going to make you want to jump to the next generation.
Newsflash.
None of this stuff has anything interesting. The SSDs is the only thing these things have. Oh, yeah, an RTX, which
Let me clarify something.
The new one does.
I'm not saying move to the next generation, because the hardcore gamers are going to move to the next generation no matter what. We're talking about a very select few that are going to be holdovers, people who are not going to move to the next generation because the next generation is what? How much? $700?
$500?
The new generation system was announced at $500?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so $500. They're going to be dropping a whole nother half a grand, and they're going to get maybe two or three new games. They're going to hold out. Now, this...
I mean, exclusive games.
What we're talking about is this mid-tier one that they've announced that is going to be the same quality as the system that you have already right now. That's why there's a little bit of a bicker between us, because all I'm saying is that there's... To get you to move from the system you have now to that system, what is there? You're going to be dropping another $300 for this, right? I think
the disconnect that you have there is that the person that has an Xbox One Super version, which is like I said, the S or whatever, Scorpio, whatever, the person that has the fastest Xbox One right now, the 4K rendering one right now, they're not going to, quote-unquote, upgrade to the $299 version.
Right.
If they... That's not their audience for that cheap $299 version. Their Series S Xbox One, which is the new cheapo, that is for people that are playing on PlayStation. That is their, let's get them in here. They're not downgrading. That is, here's a cheap console to get into Xbox.
And maybe.
That's where I think the disconnect's at.
Maybe.
But no, there's no, like I said, the only technology that we really have is, Sony has, of course, SSD. They have a very fast SSD, a very expensive SSD. I think it's faster than most standard retail SSDs that you have right now. And they have this new 3D audio sound stuff. Xbox, all I've really seen them show off is SSD. They both have RTX support, which is ray tracing, which is... I don't really care. I think it's fine, but not really clamoring for ray tracing, honestly, anymore. But I mean, it does look good when it does look good. But
and to be clear, I gave up on Xbox 1.5 million years ago. I had a 360 twice. That's it. I don't much care for... Microsoft does great on computers. I've never cared for their...
I think that's really the thing with me with Xbox is it's... A lot of their offerings, I don't really care much for. A lot of it's shooters. But a lot of their offerings, it's like, just play it on PC.
Yeah.
And that's been their stance, which is great. I mean, their stance has been to support the PC audience. But at the same time, Sony's starting to do that. I mean, that was the big interesting thing with the recent conference from Sony was that it was like a great conference. Just great games after great games. Again, I'm not a fan of indie games, quote unquote. So pretty much having zero indie games in that conference was like, thank you. We just see nothing but really cool games rather than just, well, here's another platform side shooter game from this indie studio that we want to support.
I remember my summer 2021. It was Disguise 6. It was summer 2021 was Disguise 6.
That's where you've seen that date. Okay, I gotcha. But yeah, the sad thing that came after it was the sad thing because it's like they had all these great showings. They had Final Fantasy 16, which was great to see them reveal that. I'm not a fan of Demon's Souls, Dark Souls games, but I gotta admit that the new Demon's Souls remake looked really good. Just a lot of great showings, and then they came out and they just, like I said, pretty much kicked Xbox right in the butt by saying that their price was $499 and $399 for the digital version. So it was like, there you go. Everybody was saying that was going to be $600. I didn't really think they were going to do that, but they came through with the price that was actually competitive with Xbox. And then all the news that came afterwards after it was like massive amounts of negativity. The pre-orders, everybody didn't like how they rolled out the pre-orders. I didn't get any pre-order in because everything kind of broke when I tried to access any website. I still have my name on Sony's website to notify me when they have more stock, but I haven't really heard anything back. But the kind of more depressing news that came after it was that they announced that their stuff was going to be cross-platform too. that pretty much all the titles that they revealed that was supposed to be PS5 exclusive will be on the PS4 also. So Horizon, Spider-Man, all these games are going to be on the PS4 also. So I had the same dilemma that we had with Xbox as we do with the PlayStation 5 now, is so we don't need an upgrade. Unless you want RTX support, or maybe some of the games will have the ability to, like, 60 frames per second, which is cool. But at the same time, nothing really is saying you need to upgrade now, which I guess is a cool thing these companies are doing this, because it's like, again, in a society we have right now, people are strapped for money. It's like, you don't have to worry about running out to upgrade your PS4 or PS5 yet. I think the only thing that I, in the end, found that was supposed to be PS5 exclusive was Demon's Souls. Everything else was pretty much going to be for both. So,
well, that's kind of the one of the benefits of the x86.
Yeah, that is definitely the... And that was the other cool thing, is that pretty much they were also saying that 99% of all games for the PS4 can run on PS5.
Right.
Now, I don't know if that's going to be one of those things where you, it's a rollout, or if it's going to be day one, you can put any disc in there and it works. But that's cool, because that means that you can essentially take your PS4, PS4 Pro, and turn it in and buy a PlayStation 5.
Because I think that's kind of the main reason why a lot of the developers have demanded the x86 system.
Well, yeah, it made
mostly because they can cross-platform it easier.
Yeah. It is literally just... I mean, that's it's funny because everybody, like, freaked about this, and it's like, it makes sense. When they first brought up the trailer for Final Fantasy 16, it had on there, this is playing on a PC with the specs of a PS5.
Yeah.
And it's like, yes, because when they develop these things, they generally do them on PCs with the specs of the console that they're making them for when they don't have the console yet. They're being truthful to you. Look, we record this on this. We're not going to say that we record this on a PS5. Because that's what they're doing. They're essentially speccing it to it, and they're developing for it that way. And it makes it so much easier that they can do this across all these different platforms. Based it off the... Now they can do it off SSDs now, which is absolutely really fantastic. But I guess that's the other reason why, even though there's no reason to really upgrade, I would still kind of like to get the PS5. Is like they are going to have a Spider-Man version for the PS5. And what was the big thing they were touting when they started talking about, hey, we found this technology called SSDs, and we're going to put it in our new consoles, was the load times. And the big thing that they were talking about was they specifically showed Spider-Man and how fast he can... you know, swing across the city.
Well, they're doing the...
Because this stuff loads faster now.
They're doing the new technology where it's going directly into the processor, isn't it? What is that called? There's a new disk drive that's actually on the memory bus or something like that. I know it's not SATA 3. It's an actual... I mean, you can see it on the new motherboards. It's where it's actually on the motherboard instead of actually a side.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the best showcasing of it was, even though I don't really... I mean, I enjoyed playing Ratchet and Clank and stuff with, like, our dad. Wasn't a huge fan of the series, though. I mean, they're fun, but it's not something I go out of my way to actually go play. But it's funny because I think the only thing that we've seen across both platforms, Microsoft and Sony, that Ratchet and Clank game was like the showcase of what it's like to have SSD. Because that was literally... there's a mechanic in that game where you can shoot and pull yourself into another dimension. And so you're shooting people in this really well-crafted, visually, you know, just stuff happening everywhere. It's a very animated world that you're sitting in. It's in the middle of a city, and there's just things happening everywhere. He shoots and pulls himself into another area that's full of stuff happening and people there and everything like that. And it's like, it's bam, it's loading all this data like instantly and pulling all this data every time he's shooting this off and jumping to another area. And it's like, again, to our point earlier about these being cross-platformers, they're developing it to run on all these different machines. And now it's easier to do it, but they still have to take consideration the limitations of all these games to go to the least denomination. Which sucks, because anything cross-platform is not going to take advantage of what's specifically unique about Sony's platform, like the 3D audio and the and the slightly faster SSD, and it's not going to take advantage of, you know, the slightly better teraflops of the Xbox, the new Xbox. I don't even want to bother with trying to figure out the names because I think the naming sucks on Xbox. I seen a joke post.
They already make fun of it. They already screwed it up.
They had, who was it? There was the person naming the PlayStation consoles, and it was, who was it? It was like some professor guy or something like that that was naming the PlayStations. No, it was the Count. They had the Count from the Muppets.
Okay.
He's the person naming the PlayStation, so of course, one, two, three, four, five. And the one that was naming the Xbox was the Riddler. So it had, like, Jim Carrey Riddler. Like, yeah.
So what's the new Xbox name?
Xbox Series X and Xbox Series S?
And so there's no joke that came out about it yet?
Oh, Sexbone, I think it was.
Sexbone.
Was the Series X, or the Xbox Series X, or Series S. There was Xbox Series S, which I think is the Sexbone or whatever, and the Xbox Series S, I don't know what they call that one. Or maybe I got it backwards. I don't know. I'm sure there's plenty more jokes out there.
Mm-hmm.
I just catch them every now and then. But no, I still kind of want to get it. The PS5, anyways.
Well, of course you love PS5, PlayStation. So, I mean, that's not even really a question.
But I mean, but like I said, the moment I heard that they were all going to be cross-platform, it's like, well, I do like the idea of getting it just for the faster frame rates. So a lot of these, like I said, a lot of these games are going to have that option to either, you know, tone down the graphics to do higher refresh rate, which is, I think it's fantastic. I think they all should have those options. Because I know that I agree with a lot of people. That I think frame per second should be the focus and not, oh, now we can go to 8K with upscaling and stuff. But yeah, I kind of feel a little damper there. Of like, well, technically I think the two games that I really would like to play on a new PS5 would be Demon's Souls, because that looked really good. And like I said, I haven't really played any Dark Souls-ish games. The new Devil May Cry 5, I think, would be fantastic on the PS5. That looked really good. And I've always wanted to play Devil May Cry 5. And yeah, I would like to play the Spider-Man game, the original Spider-Man game, plus Miles Morales on the new PS5 with, like, the SSD power that it has. So if I can get a pre-order in somewhere, we'll see. Nintendo announced a new console, too.
Did they actually announce it?
It's like one of those things where it's like suddenly out of nowhere, everybody starts making videos about they confirmed it. And you're like, well, let's see. They finally confirmed it. Let's see. Yeah, they had a hearing where they said they're still investing money in new technologies and something more powerful. And I'm like, so they didn't announce it. They literally said they're investing in new technologies.
That's every
company is investing in new technologies. Literally right now, I can say with 100,000% certainty that both Sony and Microsoft are already making the next consoles. Yeah,
this is very, very true.
They're already making them. And I bet if they have a Switch Pro that they're making right now at Nintendo, they're already working on the next console after that. It's called R&D. They're always doing it. They literally have labs full of tons of possible technologies they can use in a next console. They're always looking for the next thing.
I guarantee
their entire R&D department needs to be fired.
I guarantee you there's probably 70,000 different things that did not make it to the next console.
Things that are probably good not to be on the next console, especially with Nintendo.
Especially with Nintendo.
But no, you have an earnings call. Literally on the day that Sony announced PlayStation 5's pricing and everything, and release date, you had literally 5 or so days before, Xbox and Microsoft announced their pricing and everything. I'm certain that earnings call was going to require them to say something about, hey, we're working on the next thing, don't worry about it. It's an earnings call. It's going to be on there. So, like, when I first seen all that stuff, I was like, crap, because I'm actually thinking here soon, because, right now, my Switch has been pretty much stolen from me. I was considering buying another Switch, which this will be like my fifth Switch buying now that I've bought. One, two, three, fourth Switch. This will be my fifth. One, two, three, four. This will be my fifth Switch. My fifth Switch I'll be buying. I was like, okay, cool. If there's a Pro coming out soon, maybe I should just wait. Which is hard to do because I have the Mario 3D All-Stars and I now have six visual novels for the Switch now because I just got Maitsetsu and I got Tomomo After Story. It's my recent collection of Switch games are increasing visual novels. So yeah, when I see that news, I'm like, cool, I might have to wait. And then I'm like, no, that's literally telling me nothing. If they did also say they're halfway through their life cycle for it. So yeah, I do agree with people that is a good way of extending the life cycle, is having another SKU. A lot of people are saying they're looking at 4K technology. I can guarantee you Nintendo does not care about 4K. They haven't cared this long and this console has been this successful, they're not going to care about it yet. It's too battery draining to care about 4K. It's too heat intensive to care about 4K. Yes, there is new technologies out right now that do a fantastic job of upscaling, and I do agree that could be something they're looking into. But again, that right there, that is battery intensive, that's power intensive. Their focus is going to be, if anything, would be maybe bumping the resolution a little bit more, maybe 1440, maybe just getting a constant 1080. I can see them doing that. Because there's a lot of these games that don't keep a constant 1080, but they're not shooting for 4K. Highly doubt it.
At best, they've probably done a bit more adjusting to that the chip that they've got in there, and they'll just go to the next generation of that. At best, I don't see them doing a whole lot of craziness on it.
I agree.
Which if they do that, that's probably what I'm going to do is shift to the next one, because I really hate that I didn't upgrade when they had that option.
The better battery?
Yeah.
Yeah, the better battery was huge. But that's why I double dipped on one of them. But what I had like a concern there when I first got it, because I'm like, I've heard a lot of positive things about it. There was even talk about the screen being better, and I've seen a lot of like highly technical videos talking about how the screen's actually better. But the battery and heat were like huge things that they kind of mentioned about it. And when I actually got it in my own hands, I'm like, holy crap, yeah, this thing doesn't want to die. And the heat is, you don't feel the heat on that fan or that back part as much as the other one did. And that was another huge thing with a lot of the cracking and stuff that happened. My original one had the cracking next to the vent because of that heat. So yeah, it was a very stunning improvement they had with that. So
I technically haven't gotten pretty lucky and haven't had that problem.
The crack?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yes, mine's the old generation one. Yeah. That's the reason why I said I wanted to upgrade it.
Yep. I even dropped at some point, and they didn't notice it when they traded it. Mm-hmm. The two Switches that I've had, I only dropped them once, and I play those things all the time, so it was a surprise.
Well, I'm pretty insistent on leaving it in that thing. I hardly ever pull mine out of its dock.
Yeah, and I'm always running with mine around, so. Yeah. And I'm never touching a light. Never touching a light.
So you completely gave up on that idea?
Yeah, right? Not touching it. No.
They've even went and announced that they're going to allow you to go back and forth, I think. Or they're going to make it easier to transfer the information over or something like that. I know I've seen a report about that recently.
When did you hear about that?
I want to say it was about a month ago.
Oh. I know they talked about it like 6 or so months. It was like shortly after the light came out, and like Yeah, that's not a resolve, because it was like that whole thing where you can do it on both. You just have to sign in whenever you access something that's digital or whatever. And I'm like,
I think it was on the Switch thing, or maybe it came in my email. That's very possible too. I get emails from Nintendo all the time.
Pipe fishing site.
Yeah, the Nintendo fishing site.
The Nintendo fishing site. Exciting time for gaming. I mean, despite how things are going on right now. So that's a good thing, though, because it's creating a lot of joy for people to kind of mess with things on the side. But yeah. Good stuff. And good news for either side. I mean, if you are a huge Xbox fan, I'm definitely excited for you guys, whether you want to get the cheap version or the more expensive version. I'm sure you guys are going to have a lot of fun with that. And on the PlayStation side, there's a lot of excitement there. Prices are good for both sides. So, I mean, in the end, everybody wins. It's not really a Xbox versus PlayStation or anything like that. It's really a everybody wins in the end. We get games or fun. I think the biggest exciting thing out of all this, though, you know the side that I think wins the most out of both of these? PC.
Yeah.
There was, like I said, I think of all the games that have been announced on both sides for both consoles, I think there was only one that was actually exclusive to PlayStation 5, and that was Demon's Souls. And I'm sure that's probably already been updated to be for PC also. So all this stuff is going to be for PC. So even if you don't have the money to shell out for these consoles, well, I think Spider-Man has not been announced for PC either. So, and I don't think Horizon 2 will be on PC yet. I mean, we have Horizon 1 on there already, so I'm assuming eventually it'll be on PC as well. But
what all was in the Direct again?
Nintendo Direct?
Mm-hmm. Because they did
a bunch of Monster Hunter.
That's right. Rise. I heard everybody going nuts about Rise.
Yeah, they had the new Monster Hunter Stories, which is like a Breath of the Wild, colorful Breath of the Wild-ish looking JRPG for the Monster Hunter. We just had the first one already, so certain people know what I'm talking about. What else is on there that was... Oh, they had the new Disgaea.
Disgaea 6, yeah.
Yeah... I don't know about that one.
Why?
I don't like my Disgaea in 3D.
Oh, is that what
they took
you?
Off the old 2D art and they went
That's
all
true.
Full 3D.
It did look a little bit funky, but I was
like a bunch
of
blocky goofballs from a PlayStation game.
Yeah, it didn't turn me off like it turned you off, yeah. But I do know what you're talking about because
it
almost looked kind of funky for a second, and then but I didn't really think much of why it didn't look right. So yeah, I guess that would make sense.
That jumped out and bit me in the face. It was that obvious. But I love my Disgaea so much. It's easy to notice that stuff. It's like I said, I'll still probably play it. I mean, I've bought Disgaea 4 and 5 and 3 50 dang times.
I love the fact that they one of the announcements that was in the Disgaea 6 announcement was that they've upgraded from like 9,999,000 to 9 quadrillion.
Yeah,
because Disgaea.
More numbers. What else is on there? Ori and the Blind Forest.
Oh yeah, that's right.
They're releasing Ori and the Blind Forest Will-O-Wisp. I have been wanting to play that recently, so it was kind of like, yeah, I guess I can technically just get the Switch one. I mean, hopefully it plays as smoothly as it does on the PC, because that's kind of one of those games where I want it to be high frame rate. I want that sucker to move fast, because that game just has that contrast. Yeah, Will-O-Wisp. It has that contrast that just works so well with a visual style like that. Yeah, Rune Factory for the 50th time. They showed that on there.
Oh, is that the one that you can marry everybody
yes,
in
yes,
there?
You can marry everybody.
That sounds great.
Some crappy sniper game, some crappy mafia game. Yeah, that's... I'm surprised you didn't notice that. I mean, it's got a good 3D style to it where it doesn't look like... I mean, I shouldn't have said it looked like a PS1 game. I actually hate when people say that, but it does have a good style to it. It doesn't look like that, but I don't know. I think I'll probably still enjoy it even still with the 3D style to it, just because it's still the same kind of characters and goofiness that's always been a draw of the Disgaea series. But it was cool. It was cool to have them announce it, though. Yeah, the rest is just Monster Hunter. I can't get into Monster Hunter. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I have bought so many damn Monster Hunter games in my time, and I've literally every single one of them played. No, I think I played a good 7 hours of the 7 to 10 hours of the Monster Hunter World on the PC, but that's because I was trying so hard to enjoy it because our other brother across the country was playing it, and I wanted to enjoy it. But like that one, we did the Wii U and the 3DS one simultaneously for a little bit. And never playing for more than a few hours.
It's
too much of a grind. It's too much of beating your head against the same things over and over again to get the materials, and it doesn't change what you're seeing. Doesn't change much while you're doing that, so it just gets boring really quickly. So, I think it is a social game though. I think you have to have a group of people that are all into it and just going after something before it's actually enjoyable. I mean, it's just like MMOs and raiding. It's like you have to have a group of people you enjoy being with that hits the same thing over and over again. But yeah, we've been talking way too much about gaming this episode. I should probably move on. But it's good, though. I mean, like I said, it's good, though. It's good to kind of keep up on what we're actually enjoying in the gaming, because it's something we do a lot of, so. Jump into the community, answer some questions from our community members. Like I said, you can go to talkingspear.com, go to the forum link at the top there, join the AnimeCast question thread and post your question there. You can send it to Andrew@talkingspear.com. Tweet it at us. There's plenty of ways to get a hold of us. There's a contact us button at talkingspirit.com that you can click on and post there as well. Similar to Seth Omaha, which Seth Thomas has said, what are some older titles you wished would get remake with updated art style? Personally, I would like them to remake all the old Gundam. I would go back and watch the old ones, but I'm sure you would know better than most just how daunting the size of the catalog is, especially if you if the older style is not in your taste. Yes, I think I've mentioned several times that I would love that they would redo the old Gundams in the new Gundam Origin style. Like I've said, really love Gundam Origin. It was a great take on Char's story. Just keep going. Keep going all the way into there and finish the entire original Gundam series. Yeah, even go into Zeta and Double Zeta and all that stuff would be fantastic. And I think a lot of it has to do with like okay, so to answer one of your questions is I don't really care much for changing of the style, because I'm one of those people that this older style doesn't bother me. Specifically, there's a lot of 80s and 90s anime that I actually prefer their style over newer styles, especially for more serious stories. Specifically, I do think that that older style does do well with the more, I guess, serious tone that something like a Gundam series would have. But even like with the Origin, it is a good style that does technically hold to that old standard as well. So I think that's what helps it work so well as well.
But yeah, that one's one of those things that's kind of, I could see both ways. I would like to, I think that a lot of the characters would, I would enjoy having the softer style of the newer anime, but at the same time, I do agree that the sharp, edgy characters do lend themselves to the serious tone.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I think it is. That is also a part of a thing that I kind of wish that the older stuff does get updated, because they are stories that are really cool that I think that a lot of people would enjoy actually seeing. But I think more than art style, the older shows need remake for other reasons than artwork, and that's pacing. So like with the Gundam series, the reason why I partially want it so badly redone in the Origin style is because I want them to redo the story and make it less slow. Not so much that I want this art style itself changed. So, yeah. That's what makes this question difficult. It's not that I want things updated from the old to get new art styles, because I more than want them updated for pacing reasons more than anything. But if I had to choose...
I still think we've already answered this, because my go-tos are always the Lotos and the...
We've answered questions regarding this in regards to which shows you want continued, which shows you want redone, but nothing specifically says that you want it updated because of art style. We've never had a question specifically about art style. And that's what's throwing me off, is I can't really think of anything of old that I really want their art style change.
That's what I'm saying, is the art style on Lotos, I would really love to see that updated, because it's got the jagged edges again, and it's hard to explain.
Yeah, I'm different. I like Lotos for its art style. I want it to remain that. But that's me.
But at the same time, I mean, I agree. It's a more serious tone, but I think a lot of the characters would look a lot better with a softer tone. But I mean, we got Arslan, and that got updated, and
they made it more boyish.
Yeah,
very pretty boyish.
Mm-hmm.
And its older one was a lot more. I do love that character artist. I think that was the one that did Alchemist, Full Metal Alchemist. I think it was the same artist as that one. So nothing against her. It's just, it's again one of those things where it did take that and make it more boy band, you know, shonen boyish kind of stuff. So, or pretty boyish.
The old version was weird. If you take the time to look at, he had very lanky characters, and the hair just went forever.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, there's shows that I would like to. I'm curious if a change of style would change it. I mean, like, I can see, think of something like, we just watched Made in Abyss, the movie yesterday, and it's like, I do kind of wonder, like, as much as that show has cemented itself into my mind as a classic already, and I love it for everything it is, there is a very small side of me that's like, I wonder if this did look less like a children's Bible book and more like, I don't know, something that's more naturally anime-ish. It is technically a very unique style with Made in Abyss. Maybe that's what they're going for, is the children's Bible book style, and that was for a purpose, because it does kind of accentuate the aspect of innocence that is kind of destroying in that show.
Well, we talked about that with Madoka Magica. It was that the wider heads to show the innocence.
There you go, Madoka Magica. Unpopular opinion number one right there. I would like to see Madoka Magica in a different style. I mean, as much as, again, that is a show that is technically a movie that has cemented itself in my eyes as a classic, it is off-putting in its style. And I almost kind of wonder if it would look better in a different style. There you go. Clannad. I would like that in a more modern Kyoto style, because it technically is in that age group area of, like, your eyes are too big. Anime area time frame. So I love Kyoto style.
When they were still trying to figure out Moe.
Yeah, I mean, the eyes are huge. And that is one huge stumbling block I remember seeing a lot of people have with Clannad. I can't get into it. The eyes are stupid big. It is technically that old Moe origin story. And I would love to see them update Clannad to technically the standard that Kyoto Animation is known for. Their more recent character designers, I think, would do a fantastic job with it. So I think it's the two sisters. I think this does a lot of their character designs. But they have a style of their own that I think they have definitely calibrated to a point that I actually really like it. So there you go. You got two from me. The three, technically three from me in the end. And they're not really old shows. Madoka, Clannad, and sort of Made in Abyss. I think Made in Abyss is kind of like, that's what makes it so special. but I would kind of like to see, just as a experiment, what it would look like. Next one we have is from Jared BF Ball. It says, hello, Andrew and Chris. I have recently been elected to be the new treasurer for my small local college anime club. I'm interested to in putting together a giveaway so the members can win some awesome anime merch. What are some of the things that you think most anime lovers would like to win at a giveaway while still keeping it within a reasonable budget? Thank you for your future response and keep doing the great work with the podcast. You guys are great.
That's almost impossible.
It's about a month ago, so hopefully you haven't had the thing already. anime merch that's within budget.
I would almost say your Nindroids are probably about the safest bet if you don't want to go with gotchas.
Nindroids are probably the most cheapest way of making... Not really so much cheap, because they can sometimes get expensive, but you can find a lot of them that are really cheap. But I would recommend... Right Stuff Anime has a lot of kind of odds and end stuff now. So if you go there and look at their kind of not anime Blu-ray merch that they have a lot of little odds and ends that you can buy from them.
Like the gotchas.
So,
the little, they're little goofy off, like the key rings. They keep them in sets. So you get like five of them and each one of them are different things. They're kind of designed around the idea of the gotcha.
Yeah.
Big
grand order chest stuff did that stuff. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So you can put the coin in there and twist and it drops down a ball.
Yeah. They're like little small boxes and whatever box you open, it can be one of six different figures. But yeah, the, like I said, check out the kind of odds and ends merchandise area of Right Stuff. There's a lot of stuff in there that's cheap. Chris makes a good point. I think definitely the Nindroid is a good option if you're looking at something of value that's not just kind of little knickknacks, I guess is what you would call the merchandise stuff. Also, wasn't Tokyo Takemode? Mode.
What are the Kupuchis?
Kupuchis?
Yeah, they're kind of like the Nindos, from a different company.
Yeah, I think it was Max Factory or something like that.
Max Factory, and then they've got the ones.
You're really stuck on figures, aren't you?
Well, I'm trying to think of the cheap ones because all the other ones are. I mean,
I'm thinking like odds and ends and knickknacks, and you're like figures. Obviously, figures. Everybody wants figures. Yeah, get some wall scrolls too. but yeah, Tokyo Takemode has a lot of knickknacks as well that are pretty cheap that you can check out. Joked about a second ago, but I think wall scrolls are really valuable, but sometimes really cheap that you can find as well from both of those. Some of them are kind of expensive, especially if it's kind of more popular series. They can get kind of pricey, but you might be able to find some that are decently cheap as well. So yeah.
You could go to the bookstore and get manga. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Then you're not getting a figure.
Sometimes mangas are more expensive than figures. At least $10 sometimes if you buy them from the store. So,
hey, I didn't say another figure.
I haven't been to a talking mode in forever. So, yeah, I get some alpacas for Evangelion alpacas. That's a surefire one. Acrylic stands I know are really popular, and I think that Atakimo gets a lot of those. So there's an option as well as acrylic stands. Yeah, they have a Toys and Knickknacks areas on Atakimo. I knew they did. A lot of stuff there. I mean, very... well, not Reese, Rim, and Rom. Hello Kitty next SD Gundams for $28. Those are kind of cheap. But yeah, they have a lot of like acrylic keychains, $12. More lewd versions of them for $16. So pay an extra $5, you can get lewd versions of Rem and Ram from ReZero. Yeah, definitely check out those knickknacks though. I mean, that, like I said, they're going to be more in the cheaper area, even though they're technically expensive for what they are. They're still anime related merchandise that are imported, so you do have to deal with a little bit of a tax there. But it's a good option. Some of these are crazy. Bungo Stray Dogs. Clip badge collection for $45. You got to worry about certain series. They get a series tax for some reason. I don't know why. That sounds like fun, though. I would love to do something like that with a club and get little knickknacks and do a raffle. That sounds like a lot of fun, though. I hope you have a lot of fun with that, because that sounds like be a blast. One more?
Let's do it.
Yeah, Michael writes in and says, podcast question, having to do with the pirating issue with Crunchyroll and Funimation, etc., won't giving the shows for free with commercials on the platform lower that platform the problem instead of charging monthly? That's the only way to cut that down, in my opinion. I'm guessing this is a response to the piracy or the Kiss anime going under discussion we had. They do that. I guess the answer to your question is that they do that. Anybody can go on there without paying a sub fee and watch titles from Funimation and Crunchyroll for free, if it is licensed in your region. You just have to watch an ad. The only caveat is, I don't know if Funimation does it as well. I'm probably sure they do. But Crunchyroll will keep the just releasing titles locked out for a week.
Yeah.
So
I think that's what really irritates a lot of people.
Yeah. I think they should, I honestly believe they should lower that to maybe a day or two, maybe in like 12 hours. I know that they have to give incentive for people to subscribe. I honestly believe if it was my choice, especially with how well they're doing right now, is to maybe instead of doing a week lockout, instead have increased ads on it. I'm certain that people wouldn't mind watching a show on release date and have to watch a little bit of extra ads.
I
know there's a reason why they're doing it, and they're trying to incentivize the idea of actually subscribing rather than everybody going, well, there's no reason to subscribe anymore because I can watch it with ads and I'll be watching it for free.
Or
sticking to resolutions.
I'm fine with that. My main problem is I automatically think to how YouTube has been the last few months. It's like, it's getting absurd with
the difference, though, is when I'm on YouTube, I'm watching like 30 seconds of content. I'll watch a minute ad if I'm watching a full episode of anime.
Yeah, I guess.
Of course, I did complain yesterday when I paid $20 to watch the Made in Abyss movie, and I got stuck watching high dive ads. I'm like, you're going to take $5 off that movie ticket for me now that I've watched an ad?
Yeah, I agree. It is something that's different. I guess in a way, you're right. The fact that especially like when I put it on double speed and I'm getting ads twice as fast.
Yeah.
I guess I would be more apt to watch the ad if it's a show that I want to watch. Ads are such a weird, they're a fire that these companies really got to be careful with. I hate to say this, but it is. It's you're playing with fire. The more you impose the ad, the more it's going to turn customers away, which is exactly the opposite of what you are trying to accomplish. You're trying to accomplish a customer being enjoying the content and at the same time rent that customer out to another customer is effectively what you're doing. You're selling a customer to another customer. So you're playing with fire. You have to be very careful with how much you impose on those customers.
And that's the frustrating thing is that I understand the need for ads. I understand that technically YouTube's had issues with actually making money in certain time frames of its lifespan. And I know right now Twitch is struggling with that now. Amazon is finally at the point now where they need to start making money off of Twitch. And in order to do that, they're now having to figure out what they're going to do. And right now it's ads. And I know a lot of people were flipping out here recently, especially like the PlayStation conference. It was some people that were watching it straight from PlayStation stream. What happens like halfway through the stream, a bunch of ads popped up, and it's like, okay, people are watching an official channel for their announcements of advertisements, now getting interrupted, this live feed getting interrupted by ads. And it's like, you got to figure this thing out, because you can't really do it in situations like that. Like, in a situation like that, have ads set at the beginning or the end. Work with Sony. Like, Sony is a huge company. They're going to have a lot of people watching this stream. Figure out how you can figure it out. Is Sony going to pay you to be on that platform and stream it to everybody? And have no ads? Or are you going to say to Sony, hey, we're going to shoot it, we're going to put ads here and here. Is that going to work?
Well,
work around each other.
One of the biggest issues is we're moving into a different type of an age, and we're using an old model for something new. And a lot of these companies are still fumbling around trying to figure out how this works. And that is the gist of it. Now, I mean, I think a lot of people don't realize that. YouTube is trying to force the cable TV model. It doesn't work. And when they figure it out, it'll make much more sense for everybody. And we'll all look back and go, how the heck did we not see this solution? Twitter, same problem. They're trying to force a model that does not work into their system. And that's why a lot of these companies are having really hard times. They're struggling to get it. Like you were mentioning, Twitch. Twitch is trying to figure this out because
bandwidth costs money.
These companies are realizing you can't run on on free forever. And they're all facing the same problem. And hopefully we figure it out. We will.
Yeah, one solution is not to run 30 seconds of ads when I'm not going to... That's like Twitch. The problem I have with Twitch is that the how much like pre-roll of ads that they push on you is like 30 seconds. And if I'm looking at the main page of Twitch...
I've had a YouTube...
And my people the people that I don't normally watch are not live. What am I going to do? I'm going to look at probably the suggested, and I'm going to say, okay, this person plays the game that I normally watch on this person's channel. Let me see what they're doing. I tap on that person's thumbnail. What happens? They want me to watch 30 seconds of ads. Now, I'm probably not going to spend but 5 seconds watching that guy's stream to tell me if I'm going to enjoy watching them or not. So I'm not going to want to sit through 30 seconds just to spend 5 seconds to find out that person's mic sucks,
you know,
or that person's attitude's already rubbing me wrong. I'm going to watch somebody else. I just wasted 35 seconds to spend 5 seconds to find out if I'm going to like watching that stream or not.
And you know what's sad? They only care about what counts as a view. They don't even care if you watch the entire ad. They get credit just for you clicking on that. It is absolutely absurd.
It's a few times.
Some of them are. The contract the customer signs is only for a view or content versus the entire ad or something like that.
Yeah, they used to have click-based, and I don't think they'd do that crap anymore, because I don't think any advertiser would agree to the idea, or any streaming service would agree to the idea that it has to be clicked in order.
Well, that's what those clickbait farms did.
Yeah,
you know how you would end up going to you see those stupid ads, you click on it to find out what the heck they're talking about, and it's literally one picture, and you click the next, and it's the next picture. There's ads all over that, and that's all click farms. I had one time where YouTube actually, I was listening to a video, and a freaking ad came on, and I'm working and just listening to this, and I'm sitting here trying to work, and the stupid ad just keeps going on and on and on. I look at the stupid, I finally stop, look at the phone. It's a 60 minute ad. Yeah, this is absolutely absurd.
I had one a day while I was cleaning, and I'm like, okay, I'll just let it play. It'll probably be 30 seconds at the most. And I finally kind of look over, and it's like, it's a 6 minute ad. And I'm like, gosh, dang it, skip. Like, I can give you 30 seconds of my time. I'm not going to give you 6 minutes of my time. Don't push it. Don't push it.
And what's worse is
I think they need to have limits on the time. Because, I mean, if anybody... No, there's only been maybe 2 to 3 ads that I have ever seen where it was a...
The Sasquatch like ones maybe, were funny. Or the Dr. Squatch. Is that what they're called?
I don't know. There's only been about 2 or 3 ads that I've ever seen that was a 2 to maybe 4 minute ad where I was like, okay, this is kind of interesting. It was kind of usually something that's kind of out of the bounds of an actual advertisement. It's probably more about an information type website that is trying to catch you on an interesting topic. And I've actually had times where I'm like, yeah, that's actually interesting. Let me find out what this guy has to say before I hit skip.
I've got,
but in most cases, people are kind of either not paying attention or trying to, or setting off the side and listening to something. Their attention is either away from it or they're away from the actual thing itself. So don't take advantage of that and have an ad that runs extremely long. They'll give you the time of day, but they don't expect the entire day of their time.
that was the other thing that I was gonna say is there has been times where I've, you know, went ahead and allowed the ad to go through, and it goes to the next ad, and it forces me to watch the next ad.
Yeah, if only I skipped the first one.
Yeah,
yeah. The first one had a skip on it, but the second one had like a not skip.
Yeah,
but it was like 15 seconds long. It's like, dang it, you got me, didn't you? Oh, I think that's the biggest struggle with ads, and I mean it. To somehow make it come back to the point that we originally had for this question is the ads never. And this is partly to do with the fact that technically there has been a lot of these companies had their hands slapped at some point. There used to be targeted ads a lot to do with these companies. And now I think the ads themselves only target to the content itself anymore. It does not target to your Google login or whatever in your browser history. So, unfortunately, as much as I don't like the idea of them watching what you're doing to target the ads to you, at the same time, the benefit to that was that you actually got ads that was pertaining to you in some way. Like, it's seeing you search for dog food at some point. It's going to give you a Pedigree commercial. But now it's literally based off the show you're watching. So if you're watching a show about some guy shooting a revolver, you're going to get gun ads or something like that. The ads never really ever... I don't care about anything that are in the ads. And so it's like, it's almost like, what's the point of giving me the ads when I don't even care about buying any of this stuff? Which is, I guess, technically trying to aim anything in my direction is probably not going to have any care whatsoever to me, because I'm very limited about what I care about. So
this is true. I get ads for crap that I tend to search for, and it's like, yeah, I'm not paying for what you're offering me. It's way, way out of my league.
It is kind of a question of, I'm curious to like log out of Crunchyroll to see what kind of ads that they supply. Are they advertising Sentai Filmworks releases? Or are they advertising Miller Lite?
I don't get a lot of
the sparkling Miller Lite or something like that. It's the sparkling Miller Lite.
I have gotten a couple of the sparkling hard cider or something like that here and there. At least they finally stopped on the stupid tobacco quit now commercials. Oh my gosh, those were annoying.
You just jinxed it. You're literally going to turn that thing back on. There it is. That was an interesting side tangent, though. I don't know if the next one's a quick one or not.
I don't think so.
That's a long one. So I guess we'll leave it there. We are down to we have a ton of emails questions. So apparently I had a flood of emails at some point that I'll get to. But the people on the forums are failing miserably, because that is literally the last of our forums.
We have defeated emails. The forums, and we are working on the emails.
Yeah. Which I guess either way, where the directions the questions come to is fine with me. I'm fine with them either coming through email or our contact us button at talkspear.com or the forums. I don't think that, as much as I enjoy the idea that people go onto the forums and communicate with the people on the forums, if you can't do that or just want to contact direct, that's a way you can do it. So it's fine. But yeah, that's it for this episode. Hope you guys enjoyed us talking way too much about video games and Hololive English. That's pretty much been, it's been a, technically a quiet week for for news. So having those two big things kind of happen did help us to have some discussion to go with. So we hope you guys enjoyed this discussional podcast episode. We talked about the news that was important to us, that should be important to you. And we hope you guys enjoy it. Again, we're at talkwithspirit.com. That's where you can go for all of our anime, new and old, great community in the form links at the top, social media links on the right side, and all that good stuff. And we hope you all enjoyed, and you all take care.
Os. だけの話